What's up, guys? Welcome back to the RCT Network and podcast. This is Michael Key, your host. And yesterday, I released an episode called The Election Files Part 1. This is The Election Files Part 2. Now, if you listened to the show yesterday, you know I kind of went on this whole research expedition after a tweet by Robert Reich stating that it was basically unfair for anyone to criticize the NEA and talk about getting rid of the NEA, which for those of you that don't know, the NEA is the National Education Association. It's the largest teachers union. He said it's unfair to criticize the NEA when teachers are having to dig money out of their own pockets and struggle to live because they have to pay for their own classroom supplies. Now, Robert Reich is a Marxist. He's a Karl Marx reincarnated, I say. And to me, he's whatever, right? He's a very radical socialist. He used to be our Secretary of Labor, by the way. But that just, I've already had my issues with unions. And I kind of went down this track because I was like, well, why isn't the NEA helping them out? Because I know how much money the NEA gives for political donations to the Democratic Party. They had recorded $65 million in 2020, prior to the 2020 election, in donations to the Democrats. They also had $119 million in grants, gifts, and contributions that aren't supposed to be for political donations. Why aren't they giving grants to teachers to help them pay for supplies for schools, right? Well, that just led me down a major rabbit hole. And what I'm finding is I've been up all night about this. I'm writing up a report, and it's a very long report. I will release it when I'm done, so you guys will have access to it. I'm just not sure how I will release the report, whether it'll be a Substack or if I'm going to go and make kind of a blog and put it in that. But I have a lot. I've been writing it up as I go, but I couldn't even sleep last night. I was thinking about all of the stuff I was finding. And it goes back to, obviously, the Trump indictments. They're indicting Trump right now because he questioned the 2020 election outcome. And basically, they are scared. It's a witch hunt. It is. I don't care what you say, what side of the aisle you're on. It is a witch hunt. They are doing this for political reasons because they are scared of him. And I have fallen into the information on basically why and how they have done things. And I'm right at the doorstep of proving that, and I've never come out and said this. I've never said that the election was rigged. I've always, and for those of you that have listened to my show, have known that I maintain the stance that I don't voice my opinion on whether it was rigged or not. I would like to have faith in our republic and our election system here in the United States, because that's really like the last thing we have left, right? But I'm almost 100% positive it was rigged. And I'm almost 100% able to prove it, showing the money flows. And there's reasons why none of this was investigated, because all the information I have is public information. It's just going through financial sheets, financial reportings, the LM2s of the labor unions, and literally just following the money, right? Follow the money and you find what you want to find. Why is it that no one else investigated this? Because it's labor unions. It's a very ingenious scheme that the Democrats are running. The AFL-CIO, I said yesterday, used to be a very hardcore anti-communist union. However, in 1995, they got new leadership, and their new leadership was all of them actually openly part of Democratic Socialists of America. These Marxists have infiltrated these labor unions. If you go look at the head of the AFT, the American Federation of Teachers, which is like the second most powerful teachers union and probably the third most powerful union in the U.S., they are all minorities. They are all women, a lot of them. And a lot of them are Marxists. And they're open about this. Same thing with the NEA. Now, I'm still going through all of the data. There's just so much. Like I said yesterday, it's very overwhelming. But today, we're going to go through more of what I found last night and this morning. And it just keeps getting better. It really does. So I'm only so far really done with the NEA and getting into the AFL-CIO. And then I'm going to go to the AFT and the SEIU. And then I'll do Teamsters and I'll take a look at all of them. But really those big three there or four. And last night, I couldn't sleep. Like, it was bothering me. And when I did get to sleep, I was dreaming about this stuff. And I had all these different questions going through my head that I wanted answered. But the main one that came to my head, the one thing I kept thinking about is, what if Trump actually would have won? What would have happened? So let's recap what I kind of talked about yesterday. The Democratic Party is using labor unions to funnel money to their progressive agendas and their political campaigns. The NEA, again, this is just the one I've really gone through so far. Obviously, they have political lobbying expenditures. That's fine. But 90% of those expenditures go towards the Democratic Party. And in 2020, they had $65 million that they reported on their LM2, which is their annual report, showing all the money they spent that was there for political lobbying. But that doesn't tell the whole story because the number is actually far, far higher. In 2021, the NEA paid 51 employees whose duties were 100% focused on political lobbying. These are employees of the NEA, not teachers that are members of the NEA. And all of that lobbying was in support of the Democrats. Their total payroll for employees that had 100% lobbying duties was $6.9 million. The actual number, $6,906,387. The average compensation for these NEA employees was $135,438, and 13 of them made more than $200,000 that year. Their salaries, which are recorded under union employee disbursements, not political lobbying expenditures. So that number, that $6.9 million, doesn't go under political expenditures. So you can add $6.9 million on top of $65 million. And according to the NEA itself, the average teacher salary for the same year was only $41,770. To make this worse, the average NEA employee earns around $115,000, which is almost three times what the average teacher is paid. And this is what I said in my video last week, is that unions, when they are a separate entity, you know, it's one thing if a union is made up of the workers for a particular industry, and they only get together to collectively bargain for better wages, better benefits at that point in time, or they go out and hire outside representation at that point in time, they bargain, they negotiate for what they want, and then they kind of dismantle the whole thing, right? They go back to working because there's no reason for the union to exist. However, that's not how it works. Unions are now permanent entities. And when you have a permanent entity that is receiving due payments from a working class, you need the people paying you the dues to remain dependent on you and wanting to pay the dues. And what makes it worse is when you have a political party that is getting the largest benefit from the dues being paid, the political party is going to negotiate policy with the union that acts in the union's best interest and the political party's best interest and not in the best interest of the workers, because they need the workers to remain dependent on the union to keep paying the dues. Now, what unions do is they do provide some benefit to their members. You're going to see this with UAW or the recent Teamster negotiations, right? Where they do get these wage increases temporarily because they only negotiate temporary like 4-year contracts. Then 4 years later, they're going to come back and say that, oh, our workers are getting screwed again. We need them to get paid more. Instead of just negotiating like a permanent contract that has a upfront wage increase that increases with inflation every year after, right? Like that'd be probably the easiest way to go about it. But no, because a permanent contract would completely void the need for any union. So unions can really only act in a conflict of interest of their due paying members. It's as simple as that. But since there is a benefit that some of these employees are getting from these unions, you now create loyalty from your members. And since these members are paying dues, you now have a final financial stake that these members have in the union. And since now, like the UAW, they just had a kind of like a democratically held election for the union president, now they have more of a say, right? At least they feel like they do. And for the most part, there's not going to be any left-wing politician that ever comes out against unions. In fact, they are all in support of unions, like substantially support unions for obvious reasons. You're rarely, except for some basic kind of protest, going to see a Republican politician come out and speak against unions. And as far as the general perception of unions, they tend to be viewed in a positive light. Why? Because, oh, well, they're doing good for the workers, right? The workers need to go and get more wages to fight against the greedy corporations, right? No, it's wrong. But the Democrats have actually created this environment. These unions have created this environment that no one is going to speak out against it. And dismantling a union would be completely out of the question. Therefore, these unions are now able to get away with things that are so obvious, and they don't even have to really go under the radar. They can just throw it in your face, and no one's going to investigate it. And that's what the NEA and the AFL-CIO are doing. So they have their political lobbying expenditures, and we'll go through some of those, but they also have their other expenditures, like representational activity expenditures, which is supposed to be spending that is for things like litigation and collective bargaining, anything related to collective bargaining and representational activities that help out their members, in favor of their members. Nothing to do with politics as far as federal and state elections. They also have a category called union administration. Now, union administration can be related to elections held internally with a union, you know, like a union official running for president of the union, like internal elections. Then you have one, it's called grants and contributions. Now, these grants and contributions, let's just say as it relates to the NEA, you would imagine grants and contributions, and a lot of them are, by the way, the grants that they give are for the purpose of like, here's a grant to a local chapter for the improvement of the schools around you. Like, you know, we're going to give one to the Collier County school system to improve Naples High School or whatever. And that's what a lot of them are. However, a substantial portion of the contribution and grants are actually going to hard, hard left-wing political organizations. The majority of these grants and political lobbying expenditures, went towards voting campaigns prior to the 2020 election. And we're going to go through some of these. The first one, the NEA paid $412,371 to the 1630 Fund. Some of you may know what the 1630 Fund is. You can write a book on the 1630 Fund. And they coded this as union administration, and the expense was for strategic planning and program development. What a joke that is, right? So a lot of the political contributions that they were making were not disclosed for political purposes. The 1630 Fund, by the way, is a well-known dark money pool for the Democratic Party. This is where people like George Soros and other billionaires, many of them foreign, there's a Swiss billionaire that funnels a ton of money in here. So when the left starts talking about Russia collusion and funding the 2016 election, they are actually worse because they have unions, by the way, that have due-paying members that are from out of the country who's paying the union the dues and the union's funneling money to the Democratic Party. So it's kind of an indirect way they can get international funding, but also through their dark money pools like this 1630 Fund, where foreign billionaires are actually funneling money into this fund. And this fund, the 1630 Fund, pushes radical left agendas and financially support left-wing political candidates. Politico wrote an article, and it's funny because even Politico, who receives a bunch of money from the NEA and these left-wing organizations, they even came out and wrote an in-detail article about how bad the 1630 Fund is. So that just gives you an idea. And I have that link, and I'll put the link in the description of the podcast. The second one, the Democracy Alliance. The Democracy Alliance is the primary political action fund for the Democratic Party. This was founded by George Soros himself. And everything I'm telling you, this is not speculation, not conspiracy. This is actual, per its website, documented fact. Nothing I'm telling you is a conspiracy. I'm literally only going to give you information today that I got from the websites of these organizations that they stated themselves, that is actual hardstone fact that you can go verify, and I'll have it all in my report. The NEA gave the Democracy Alliance $280,000 in gifts and contributions coded as a partnership grant. Now, the Democracy Alliance, again, they are a well-known and efficient operator when it comes to running undisclosed dark money funds. Two of them are known as the Strategic Victory Fund and the 1630 Fund. That's right, the Democracy Alliance owns the 1630 Fund. Both have received huge contributions from the NEA. Now, you may think, oh, $280,000 isn't too much money. That was a gift and contribution. $280,000 was money that the NEA could have given to teachers to help them buy supplies for schools. I'm just saying. There's trade-offs to everything, right? So the next one, number three, the Advancement Project. The NEA gave them $150,000 in grants and contributions, coded as a national partnership grant. And the Advancement Project is a local, the Advancement Project provides direct hands-on support for organized committees in their struggles for racial and social justice, providing legal and communications and campaign organizing resources for on-the-ground efforts while assisting in building their own community and power in their communities. Those on-the-ground efforts, by the way, per their website, are related to the on-the-ground voting campaigns or the GOTV campaigns that I brought up in yesterday's show, and GOTV stands for Get Out the Vote campaigns. You can see where this is all going. Number four, I stated this one yesterday, but this one is just crazy. It's an organization called When We All Vote. The NEA gave them $200,000 for a political lobbying expense, so they did disclose this as a political expense, coded, though, as a voter registration contribution. So the money was supposed to be used for the purpose of going and getting voters registered. They also gave this organization another $200,000 in grants coded as a nonpartisan partnership grant, as well as another $150,000. This is all just prior to the 2020 election, by the way, coded as strategic planning and program development. Now, this is supposedly a nonpartisan nonprofit. However, when I went to their website, guess what? The organization was founded by Michelle Obama in 2018 and is co-chaired by Tom Hanks, Megan Rapinoe, Steph Curry, J-Lo, and other far-left celebrities. The organization operates on-the-ground voter outreach campaigns attempting to register and persuade new voters to vote Democrat per its own website. They claim to have reached over 100 million prospective voters and registered almost a million new voters leading into the 2020 election. Yep. Number five, the Strategic Victory Fund. I brought that up, owned by the Democracy Alliance. So remember when I said, oh yeah, they only gave them $280,000. However, the NEA gave the Strategic Victory Fund $17 million in 2020 in grants. Now, this is a PAC owned by the Democracy Alliance, founded by George Soros, and its sole purpose was focused on defeating Donald Trump in the 2020 election. $17 million in grants, but teachers can't buy school supplies for their classroom. And Robert Reich says, I'm not allowed to blame the fucking union. And the union, who is taking money from the teachers to fund all of this left-wing political bullshit, they're not to blame? Oh, why? Well, because the left says, and the general consensus believes, that the union is acting for, you know, in good faith on behalf of the teachers. And they're the ones, they're the reasons why the teachers get paid at all, right? Because if they didn't get paid at all, the greedy corporation, who, by the way, the teachers work for the freaking government, they'd be in poverty. Well, they are in poverty, and they're still in poverty, even with the damn union taking money from them. You'll love this next one, though. Number six, the Fair Fight Action Incorporated. The NEA gave them $225,000 prior to the 2020 election in grants and contributions, coded as nonpartisan grant. Guess what the Fair Fight Action is? Fair Fight Action describes itself as a nonpartisan organization. However, the website reveals that it was founded by the one and only Stacey Abrams in 2018, while she herself was protesting the outcome of her recently lost election. This organization operated massive on-the-ground voter contact campaigns, attempting to register and persuade new voters to elect progressive candidates, as well as trying to overturn current Georgia state election laws and changed the laws. So remember, Stacey Abrams also questioned the outcome of an election and held the left puts her, she's a martyr to the left. Number seven is the Committee on States. The NEA gave $25,000 for union administration, coded to strategic planning and program development. The Committee on States is an organization, this is per its website, that coordinates donations to state-based groups to advance progressive causes and produce lasting change within individual states. According to a confidential Democracy Alliance document, the project had ties to the Democracy Alliance and operated on a similar investment model, with Committee on States staff advising donors on where to send their money rather than collecting and redistributing funds. Between 2013-2014, Committee on States coordinated more than $45 million in donations to state-based progressive groups in 20 states. As of 2014, the Committee on States advised a total of 21 individual donors, and institutional partners like the labor union AFSCME, Democracy Alliance partners who have also worked with the Committee on States include Rob Stein, Patricia A. Stryker, Ann Bartley, Rob McKay, John Hunting, Ted Trimba, Albert Yates, George Soros, who is the spokesman, Michael Vicone, and the AFL-CIO. Number eight, State Engagement Fund. The NEA gave them $1.5 million in grants and contributions coded as GOTV campaigns and partnership grants, which is the Get Out the Vote campaigns. The State Engagement Fund is a left-of-center 501c4 advocacy organization that funnels money to select left-wing groups. Observers have characterized State Engagement Fund as a dark money organization, since by law it does not have to disclose its donors because it is regulated by the IRS because it's a 501c4 and not other election regulations with the 501c3s and the regular nonprofits. So you can see where this is all going. I have two more listed here, which is Chisholm Strategies and Deliver Strategies. Deliver Strategies, by the way, the NEA paid them $114,919, and it was for representational activities coded as member staff education. But the odd thing is the NEA paid Deliver Strategies to educate its own staff on how to mail stuff. Per its website, Deliver Strategies is a group of former political campaign managers that consult and conduct direct mailing campaigns for Democratic Party candidates. They credit themselves with the successful elections of Michelle Wu, Elizabeth Warren, Raphael Warnock, Lori Lightfoot, and several other progressive politicians. The NEA, again, gave them just under $115,000 for representational activities, but that expense had nothing to do with representational activities because Deliver Strategies doesn't do anything that relates to unions and collective bargaining. They run campaigns, direct mail campaigns, by the way, for Democrat politicians. Chisholm Strategies, LLC, is another one that the NEA paid $114,863 for RA, or representational activities, coded as member staff education, between September 7, 2019 and August 5, 2020. According to its website, Chisholm Strategies is a voter contact firm that specializes in voter file mining and commercial data to create new methods that are effective in persuading voters to vote Democrat in government elections. They are also the ones that wrote voter contact scripts for the likes of Al Gore's presidential campaign. This organization only specializes in government elections and have no duties that would qualify as representational activities for a union. So the NEA is actually funneling more money than what they say to the Democratic Party, and they're disguising it under other expenditures. So that $65 million that they say they spent in 2020 is actually upwards, it's far above an actual nine-figure amount. It's well into the hundreds of millions of dollars. And if you're one of those people, again, that say, oh, well, you know, both sides do it and nothing's going to change and it's no big deal, well, I'd partially agree with you as in, you know, maybe nothing's going to change. However, I want to refer back to Robert Reich's tweet about how it's unfair that the NEA is getting blamed and criticized and teachers can't, you know, afford to pay for school supplies and they have to dig out of their own pockets. And it's bad that the Republicans want to eliminate the NEA because the NEA is supposed to be doing good for the teachers and make it to where they get a livable wage, but the NEA is really not negotiating. They only spent 6% of their money on representational activities. So the money that they got from the teachers that are members that are paying them dues, they spent 6.62% in representational activities. And what I just proved to you is some of those expenses that are thought to be for representational activities on behalf of the members were actually going to the Democratic Party. So the actual number they spent on behalf of their members trying to help them out was really about half of that. I would say upwards of 75% of total spending on the union, maybe 70% to 65% of total spending for the union went to the Democratic Party and leftist activist groups for the 2020 year. And this trend continued in 2021 and 2022 because of the state elections, remember? Now, even with that just kind of shallow explanation of what I'm getting into, because there's a lot more data I'm going through. And again, I'm writing all of this up. It still proves my theory on unions being corrupt entities, in that they only can act in a conflict of interest to their members. The Democrats use unions to funnel money from the union, from their due-paying members, into their own pockets and to push their progressive agendas by negotiating temporary wage increases and increase in benefits, you know, like the UAW is doing right now on these four-year contract negotiations. They give members a feeling of ease and value, but also force them to remain dependent on the union. The increase in wages is always coincided with an increase in union due payments. Thus, that means an increase in political contributions to the left. And since unions appear to be giving its members a benefit via better retirement or better wages or health or whatever, most people, including right-wing politicians, are scared to speak out against them. The general perception of unions always allows them to get away with highly partisan and unethical practices within our government. No one is going to investigate it because, oh, you're going to be the biggest asshole and anti-labor person for trying to investigate unions. Unions are God's gift to the world, right? They help the poor folk. Shut up. No, they don't. But you can't, you know, you have to applaud the Democrats. It's a truly genius plan. You infiltrate and control organizations that a substantial amount of the U.S. workforce feels dependent on, therefore has a deep loyalty based on a personal relationship with and a financial stake in because they're paying dues. And you use that money, or you use that organization as a money printer for their own political gain. Unions are nothing more than a machine that's printing money for the Democratic Party. And it's extremely smart, and no one's going to question it. Now, I want to go back to my question. What if Trump had won the 2020 election? Here's what we know. Here's what I know. We all know what happened between November and January 20th, 2021. We continue to hear about what happened on January 6th with the riots. You know, they were the worst attack on U.S. soil in our history. Blah, 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 blah. But let's flip the script for a second. Would the left have done the exact same thing? Well, as recent history shows, the Democratic Party has no shame when it comes to questioning the outcome of elections. Stacey Abrams spent 2018 and 2019 literally starting nonprofits and creating litigation teams to try and void the results of the Georgia governor election. No different than Trump did. Actually worse. No one said a thing. Starting in 2016, Democrats put substantial resources in investigations that, you know, into a election that they called illegitimate. Democrats put substantial resources into investigating what they called the illegitimate election of Donald Trump, stating his supposed collusion with Russia aided him into the White House, right? The whole Mueller report. Hell, we just got a Mueller report again recently. They're still going on about this. We also know that many of the same activist groups that I have, by the way, tracked a lot of this money to are the exact same activist groups that receive millions in funding from PACs and unions to run voting campaigns in 2020 to do a whole bunch of fraudulent activity to garner these votes. They're the same groups that organized destructive and deadly riots following the death of George Floyd. Guess what the common theme is among these activist organizations that are getting the money from the NEA, the AFL-CIO, and the George Soros funds? They're run by LGBTQ plus people. A lot of them are primarily owned by women and people of color. And if they're not, a lot of them are actually owned by white people and controlled by white people, but their goals and objectives of their activist group is to advance LGBTQ rights and support people of color. That's their agenda, right? And far left progressive agenda, also economic equity, basically the Marxist groups. The Democracy Alliance that was founded by George Soros, that I said is the primary source of dark money and funding for the Democratic Party. On their own website, they have a 10-year plan, no different than Stalin had and similar to like what the Chinese have. A 10-year plan starting from 2022 to 2032. And the number one goal in that plan is change the rules when it comes to voting. They want to force progressive agenda and change voting laws to achieve majority rule, which means they want to turn us from a republic to a democracy, a true democracy. And the idea is that the Democrats and the liberal left will continue to have control of the most important parts of our government. This is per its own website, by the way. So, historically speaking, when you compare Republicans and Democrats and the ideology of the two, and you ask yourself, well, would the Democrats have also done the same thing that supposedly Republicans did on January 6th if Donald Trump would have won? So we have proved that Democrats are not opposed to questioning the outcome of elections when they don't win. That's recent history. We know that Democrats actually don't support the way that our voting system works and that they are trying to actually change how we do it. They've shown this by the two voting laws they tried to pass, the John R. Lewis and the other one that didn't get through. They have shown this by supporting mail-in ballot voting, by supporting the elimination of our Electoral College. We know that Republicans have a deep loyalty to the Constitution. And we know that the left has talked about eliminating the Constitution as a whole and don't seem to abide by it. We also know that Democrats are not opposed to having not just riots, but very, very, very destructive and deadly riots. So when all things are considered, if Trump would have won, January 6th would have still occurred. It actually probably would have been much worse. And I think that the reason it would have been much worse is because you would have not only seen the same riots, not only would they have stormed the Capitol, which, by the way, they had done before and rioted in Washington, D.C. before, just a couple years prior, but you would have actually seen all of the Democratic elected officials, as well as some of the more centrist Republicans, standing in support of the rioters and protesting themselves, in my opinion. I think that the Democrats actually would have supported a coup. Why do I believe this? Because several of them have condoned the violent rioting in the months prior. And because of their political influence and backing of the large organizations like labor unions, they would have never been disciplined for it. Trump was an outsider. He didn't have this backing. That is why he is feeling the wrath now. And Trump didn't really even do anything. All he did was question the election. The other thing I've noticed, and this is where it really starts getting sketchy, and this is where I'm going to kind of end this podcast today and pick it back tomorrow as I do more research on this. But I think that January 6th would have still happened, and I know they would have questioned the outcome of the election because they did it in 2016. But I can almost show proof of this because the NEA, it appears, per their 2020 financial statement, that they had started putting civil rights attorneys, election law attorneys, and constitutional law attorneys on retainers in the months leading up to the 2020 election. None of these attorneys, by the way, they're paying him for representational activities for the union. None of these attorneys had any documentation showing the NEA as a client or any cases that they were currently working or had previously closed in the past that had anything to do with NEA or its members. There was also a common trend in the location of these law firms and these attorneys. Most of them were located in states like Georgia, New York, Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, and Washington, D.C. Four of those states were highly controversial during the 2020 election and in 2022 state elections as well. From what I'm seeing so far, it appears as though the NEA and the AFL-CIO were preparing for legal battles regarding election fraud in the case of a Trump victory. And I'm going to kind of pick up there tomorrow as I go in and do more research. But this is kind of what I'm seeing. I am seeing organizations funding potential legal disputes, knowing that they were going to question the legality of the election if Donald Trump had won, trying to overthrow the results of the election. They're showing their own hypocrisy based on their spending alone leading up into the election. So we'll pick up tomorrow and I will see you guys then.